it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, just freedom, not cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real?
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Ah, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. 4:02 Pacific Time Zone. Happy 4:20 to the dyslexics out there. I'm Radical Russ, your Red State refugee, fresh from speaking with Ed Gogek, the author of Marijuana Debunked, a handbook for parents, pundits, and politicians who want to know the case against legalization. He failed to explain to me why I need to be forced to stop smoking pot. I think what it came down to is I need to be forced to stop smoking pot to make sure teenagers don't smoke pot. And yet, teenagers are smoking pot. In fact, when you look at the Monitoring the Future survey and you ask teenagers about the relative ease of accessing marijuana, since 1975, that number has never decreased below 80%. It's been as high as 92% of these kids who say it's easy or fairly easy to acquire marijuana. That's right. 40 years of data and counting, showing that in these prohibition regimes, 80 to 90% of the kids can easily get pot. So what? We legalize it and that jumps to 100%? As we've seen, the data are showing fewer kids are smoking pot these days, and more of them are disapproving of its use. And it's amazing where they keep wanting to move the goalposts on that. Well, yeah, but that's only since 2011. If you look back to 2002, if you look back to 1980, and you look at any way you slice it, it's down. But let me give you some wisdom from Dr. Gogek. This is from Chapter 13, Alcohol versus Marijuana, a meaningless debate. He says, the strangest pro-marijuana argument is that alcohol is legal, so marijuana should be too. It's strange because alcohol is a perfect example of why we shouldn't have another legal intoxicant. Alcohol is one of the most harmful drugs on the planet, responsible for more death, disease, and injury than all the illegal drugs put together. The reason it's so harmful is not because it does anything worse than black tar, heroin, or crystal meth, but because it's legal and anyone can buy it at the nearest corner market. This should warn us against legalizing another drug. Okay, because the most harmful drug is legal, we shouldn't make legal the least harmful drug, is the argument. And by the way, he's mixing and matching in his metaphor here, right? At one point, he's inferring that it's the most harmful drug responsible for more death, disease, and injury than all the illegal drugs put together. But that's volume. That's how many people are harmed by alcohol. And then he says, the reason it's harmful is not because it does anything worse than black tar, heroin, or crystal meth. Actually, it does. Alcohol is actually worse for you than black tar, heroin, or crystal meth. In many objective ways, it's worse for you. This idea that alcohol is only harmful because it's legal ignores the lesson of history from 1920 to 1933. which showed alcohol was still harmful. People still died from cirrhosis. People still died from drunk driving crashes. People still got into fights, got belligerent under the influence of alcohol. But also we added to that Al Capone, and we added to that gangster warfare, and we added to that an iron law of prohibition that says if you got limited room in a trunk to smuggle stuff from Canada, what are you going to smuggle, a keg of beer or a bunch of whiskey? You're going to smuggle the whiskey because you get more profit off of that. You're going to maximize your smuggling space to create a more potent drug. In fact, we saw the same thing happen with marijuana. As indoor growing became popular and marijuana breeding techniques increased, we increased the potency of THC because of the iron law of prohibition. If it's illegal, you're going to go for the most bang for the buck. Now in Colorado, they're actually seeing demand for lower THC products. In Washington state, as soon as Oregon went legal on July 1st, and Oregonians started crossing the river to go get some weed, the pot shops there were reporting that one of the strains that was selling the best was Virgin, a strain that was like a 9% THC, because these newbies didn't want to get blasted off their rocker high getting back into marijuana after all these years. So we're going to talk more about Dr. Gogek's book for the rest of this hour because it gives me plenty of material to rant about. He says, when advocates say it's not fair that alcohol is legal and marijuana isn't, we might ask, unfair to whom? Unfair to marijuana? Does marijuana also deserve a chance to cause all sorts of health, safety, and economic problems? Most likely, they mean it's unfair to the 7% of the population who use marijuana. But what about the other 93% who might want to raise drug-free kids and might not want our highways to become even more dangerous? Yeah, that's what we're working with today, folks. Enjoy.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Science! Dr. Gogek's got me so worked up, I need to smoke some weed just to de-stress a little. Oh no, I'm an adult legally smoking weed in a state that made it legal. I sure hope the trains will run on time tomorrow. Coming up later, we've got our Daily Toker Tune for Electric Tuesday. Stick around.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
Welcome back, everyone. 10 after the hour. That's music from Terra Lumina with A Dance of Light. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio, hour two of the Russ Belville Show. Our phone lines are open at 844-207-2346. And we're talking today about the book Marijuana Debunked, a handbook for parents, pundits, and politicians who want to know the case against legalization. Dr. Ed Gogek was our guest. And we're just talking about his chapter 13, Alcohol versus Marijuana, a Meaningless Debate. And again, he had said, what about this argument that it's unfair? Which is really one of my arguments. It's like, I don't understand why a society wants to give me a choice of mood-altering intoxicants where the menu is alcohol, caffeine, prescription pills, but not marijuana? Why am I being forced into these more dangerous choices? Or why am I being forced to abstain from any of these choices if they're not dangerous enough? Because that's the thing that is concerning here. The fairness that we're talking about is that there's 8% of us who just choose marijuana over alcohol. Now, he'll get into that in his book as well, saying, well, it's not just to choose this or that. Marijuana users also use alcohol as well. And they're more likely to abuse alcohol and blah, 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 blah. But it never satisfies me on the personal level. I was a child alcoholic. From age 16, I had my first drink. I was hooked. I was a binge drinking fool. I was Bluto from Animal House and proud of it. Until I hit age 22 and smoked my first joint. And from that point on, my alcohol use decreased and my marijuana use increased to the point where now it's rare that I have an alcoholic beverage. Rare. Might get a six pack of ciders a month, maybe. And I still think I've got two sitting in the fridge from this month. I might have a margarita at a Mexican restaurant. I might have a shot at a bar. But nowhere near the level of drinking. I mean, to say I would have an alcoholic beverage once a week would be overstating it, because I don't even think it's that much. But I can tell you, if I didn't have marijuana, there's a likelihood I'd drink more. There's a likelihood I'd drink more. And then this gets into, and this guy's a recovery guy. I read a lot of stuff in here. This guy's one of these addiction guys. Addiction psychiatrist for 30 years, treated over 10,000 addicts and alcoholics in prisons, homeless clinics, and mental health centers, and substance abuse treatment programs. Now, there's a part in here where Dr. Gogek argues about media bias. How the media is pro-legalization biased, you know, because facts have a liberal bias, right? They're pro-legalization bias in the media that's leading to all this upswing. And his argument is to have a new parents movement, like the parents movement of the 80s, the Just Say No movement and all those folks to counteract it, right? But he's counting on this being a media bias, which is a typical argument you get from people who don't like the way the media is covering their story, which in the case of marijuana is finally becoming factual. Used to be, you know, you talk about bias, the coverage of media going back to, hell, we had a president of the United States, President Reagan, tell us he had absolute proof that the amount of brain damage from smoking even one marijuana cigarette was equal to being on Bikini Island during an H-bomb blast. And you want to talk about media biased? Okay. We had the government, the federal government, surreptitiously paying Hollywood to insert their anti-drug propaganda into the scripts of television shows throughout the 80s. But you want to talk about media bias. And he goes on to say, and I don't have it marked, I should highlight this stuff up. In fact, I probably will. He goes on to say that when there's a reporter reporting on a marijuana story, editors and the public should ask him point blank, do you or anyone in your immediate family use marijuana? And if they do, they shouldn't be allowed to report on the story because they'll have media bias. Now, I don't know if that applies to any reporters who drink alcohol reporting on drunk driving accidents, but apparently he wants this to apply to mainstream reporters. If they use marijuana, or their families use marijuana, or their friends use marijuana, they shouldn't be able to report on marijuana stories. And yet, This guy who is an addiction psychiatrist for 30 years, treating 10,000 addicts and alcoholics in prisons, homeless clinics, and mental health centers and substance abuse treatment programs, isn't biased? Where do you think all these marijuana addicts are coming from? They're coming from criminal justice referrals. And he tries to play this off. He actually cites the stat in here somewhere that I cite many times, which is, depending on when you're looking, between 57 and 60% of the people in the TEDS database, that's treatment episode data set admissions, and that's a database that covers about 58% of the rehabs in the country. It doesn't count the private ones that don't have to report. Private ones that don't get federal money don't have to report. But every public and private institution that gets federal money reports to this database, and it shows year after year after year, it's between 55 and 60% of the people who are in rehab for marijuana alone are there because of a criminal justice referral. Now, he tries to play this off, and he tried to play it off in the interview as well. Tries to play it off as, well, the cops aren't looking for people with pot. They are looking for people doing other things, and they happen to find pot. Yes! That's the problem! They were supposedly looking for tinted windows on the Utah highway, and I end up sitting in a cage for 6 or 8 hours. And $5,000 poorer. That's exactly the problem. He's acting as if everybody busted for weed was a criminal. Besides the weed, like without the weed, they'd still be a criminal. This is a line of thinking that I like to characterize as the he had it coming thinking. That someone who was busted for weed, well, they had it coming because they were doing something else illegal, or else they wouldn't have been busted. The people who are not causing any problems don't get busted for weed. The ones who stay at home and stay in their basements and smoke in their garages and never smoke and drive and never take it away from the house, why, they never get busted for weed. Well, somebody's getting busted for weed. There's 700,000 arrests a year. Somebody's getting busted. But this is this minimization that they like to play. There's a part in his book where he talks about how marijuana is de facto decriminalized in the United States anyway. That's literally his words, de facto decriminalized, because it's a law on the books that we barely enforce. If that's the case, why have the law? What's the point of the law if it's not worth enforcing? But that's where he comes about. I can think of no other way to keep the precious children, the teenagers, from smoking pot if it's legal. There's no way we could keep it from them. Even though it's been legal in Colorado and Washington for 3 years now, and their teen usage rates haven't exploded. But still, it will happen. They have such fervent belief. Isn't it interesting, the faith-based community? He's got this fervent belief, right? When I quizzed him on, hey, they've made $140 million in marijuana taxes in Washington and Colorado, so where's the $1.4 billion in damage? Where is it? Where's the bodies? Where's the damage? Well, I don't have the figures and I can't. Well, fuck, man, if that's something that you're going to assert, shouldn't you have the figures? Well, it's going to be terrible. We legalize weed, more kids are going to use it, and there's going to be a loss of productivity, and it's going to cost us this much in healthcare costs and this much in crime. Okay, go look that shit up. It's been 3 years. 3 years now. Find it. And God knows if they had something, they'd be trumpeting it, but they don't. They have all these little fun stats they like to throw at you, though. THC found in the system of fatally injured drivers in Colorado has tripled. Okay, but wrecks didn't go up, did they? In fact, fatal injuries, fatal accidents went down. So more people in those fatal accidents have weed that's detected in their system. Just tells us there's more people with weed in their system. There's probably more gay married people who are killed in auto wrecks these days, because now you can be a gay married person. Again, traffic fatalities are down. Now, maybe marijuana does lead to an increase in traffic fatalities, but perhaps there's also people who would have driven drunk who don't now. Maybe they offset. But overall, it seems after 3 years in Colorado and Washington, the sky hasn't fallen.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
I hope I didn't come off too abrasive to the guy, though. I did want the interview to be fair, and, you know, I tried not to talk over him too much. I'll listen back on the replay, and we'll see how I did. Happy 420 from legal Potland, Oregon. I got a legal joint I gotta legally smoke. We'll be legally back right after this.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for some Daily Toker Tunes. And for Electric Tuesday today, we are going to go back to a track we played a couple of weeks ago because I don't have my call today from Electric Bob, so I don't know exactly what we're supposed to be playing. So let me see if I can get this out from the file there. And it's not wanting to behave on me, so wouldn't you know it, having trouble with the music today. All right, well, let's see what else we can find here from our Daily Toker Tunes, from our Electric Tuesday, all sorts of great music that we play. And also, don't forget that tonight we have the Electric Bob's Boogaloo show that comes up at 8 p.m. Pacific, and it's 1 hour of the best of electronic dance music from our good friend, Electric Bob. All right, this is one's a favorite of mine, Mr. Rogers. I need some Mr. Rogers to feel better. I've gotten so angry and agitated by Dr. Gogek's book that maybe this will help. We'll be right back.
Hi, neighbor. Welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button. This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here. And there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is.
Do you ever imagine things?
Are they scary things?
Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things?
Do you ever imagine
things you'd like to have?
You'd like to.
Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark and wonder what they were?
What they were?
Did you ever pretend about things like that before?
Did you ever pretend about things like that?
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind?
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow. Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different,
somewhat different
from every other person in the world. Some can do some things.
Some can do some things.
Some can do others.
Some can do others.
Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do?
Many things you've learned.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
About many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow.
Did you feel like going like that?
Like that, like that, like that.
Let's give the fish some food.
Mr. McFeely, I didn't order any whistles.
That's what they call a slide whistle.
There are so many things to learn about in this world, and so many people who can help us learn,
and so many people who can help us learn.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think, and they'll grow.
.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific for High Times Presents Free Weed from Danny Danko, podcasting at hightimes.com/freeweed. High Times Magazine Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko answers reader questions and discusses grow tips, security do's and don'ts, and reports on the latest High Times events. Check our online listings for High Times Presents Free Weed from Danny Danko from hightimes.com.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
Apple pies is hard. Welcome back. Half past the hour here, 420 Radio, Radical Russ, coming to you live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, where I just legally smoked a legally joint, and I just legally smoked a legal joint, and the world did not come to an end. It's weird. It's weird here, because listening to Ed Gogek and these guys, oh, let's put the book right side up. Listen to Ed Gogek and these guys, you'd think the world would have come to an end by now, but surprisingly, Colorado and Washington are still humming along. Oregon, Alaska seem to be just fine. There's a part in this book that I really got to get to. It's chapter 22, How an Addiction Specialist Might See the Legalization Movement. They will do anything to get drugs. They play on our sympathy. Dishonesty is not limited to heroin and meth addicts. The disease of denial. Their one goal, they try to make their substance use seem normal. Denial is not limited to drug and alcohol abusers.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
That's right, Senator Franken, Stuart Smalley. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt. All right, so of all the ways I get to talk about drug policy, the one that really pisses me off the most is the patronizing, condescending notion that because I disagree with you, I'm an addict and I'm in denial.
Denial ain't just the river in Egypt.
That's right. And this is just a common way to try to diminish the points being made by your opposition, to just demean the messenger. It's the kill the messenger idea. But let me get to some of these things. The disease of addiction makes individuals center their lives around using. And the only way to help is to say no. And the unique features of marijuana users, marijuana activism. While all substance abusers have certain features in common, each drug also affects users in unique ways. When I started smoking marijuana, I was a senior in high school and was taking a debate class. Protests were raging over the war in Vietnam, and there was a brand new environmental movement, but the only cause I cared to debate was legalizing marijuana. It was partly adolescent enthusiasm, but it's also how marijuana users think. Nothing is more important. And here's the thing. When you say to me, Russ, you're centering your life around marijuana. You're a marijuana addict. You're a user who centers his life around drugs. All you care about is marijuana legalization. You don't care about anything else. You center your life around marijuana legalization. Number one, it's false. If you read any of my Twitter or Facebook timelines, and you see the epic battles I get in over gay rights, over racial politics, over the gun debate. There's plenty of things I care about. But also, to tell the victim of their oppression that their single-minded focus on ending their oppression is somehow wrong or diseased is an insult. We don't turn to the Black Lives Matter protesters and say, well, all you guys ever talk about is black, 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 race, race, race. We don't turn to the protesters and the activists fighting for the recognition of their right to get married if they're gay or lesbian. We don't turn to them and say, oh, all you guys ever talk about is LGBT this and LGBT that. So don't turn to us and say, oh, well, it's you're in denial. You're an addict in denial. And that's the only reason you care so much about marijuana legalization. No, call me what you want. You can call me an addict. I could give 3/10 of a tick's turd what you call me. But the reasons I care about marijuana legalization have a whole lot to do with, number one, I think it's a bad idea to enrich criminals. I'm weird this way. I think it's a bad idea to take a market that, if it were legal, would be of negligible harm and much tax revenue good to society, and instead allow criminals to run that. I've never understood that. It's like, he argues in the book, he continues to say that we should continue with our prohibition, which what he calls is de facto decriminalization. They always try to minimize what their point, their position actually is, which is prohibition. You support prohibition. He made a big point in the intro of his book of saying, they like to say cannabis because it's a dress-up word. It makes it seem so much better, but we need to call things what they are so we know how harmful it is. So I'm going to call it marijuana. Fine, I'm cool with that. Then you also need to call what you're defending prohibition, because that's what it is. You're defending prohibition. It doesn't matter how efficient that prohibition may be, which in fact it is not. It's not stopping anyone who wants to smoke pot. It doesn't matter how unlikely someone might become the victim of that prohibition. It's still prohibition, and that's what you have to call it. He's got a whole bunch on this. He says, marijuana denial is different. Marijuana users are in denial about the drug itself. Marijuana denial is the belief that the drug causes no harm and is even beneficial. Even when users hear research on traffic fatalities and adolescent brain development, they often respond with, but it's just weed. They dismiss the research and go on believing it's harmless and couldn't possibly hurt anyone. Marijuana denial is the belief that the drug is blameless. But it is also the belief that the drug is wonderful. Marijuana users truly believe the drug is a boon to mankind. They tell us it's food, it's medicine, it's clothing. George Washington grew it. The Declaration of Independence was written on it. They're relentless. And that shows us the difference between alcoholic denial and marijuana denial. Alcoholics know that alcoholism is a bad thing, so they defend themselves and say they can't possibly be alcoholic. Marijuana users think no use of marijuana could possibly be bad, so they defend marijuana. Well, okay. Let me clear the straw man from the argument here. I don't know which marijuana users or lobbyists or people you're talking to, Doc, but I'll be the first one to say there's all sorts of harmful ways to use pot. I think the guys that like to load up, let's load a 2-gallon gravity bong, man, and just take the biggest fucking hit. I think that's reckless and unnecessary. I think these guys, I'm going to do a 1-gram dab. I think it's unnecessary. I think too much continued prolonged use can overwork your endocannabinoid receptors and possibly require some time off, like, you know, going to Idaho for 3 days to, well, it's going to be 5 days. Good Lord. To reset. I've told the story many times of how I've overdabbed and found myself a wretched ball of puking and dry heaving in the streets of Los Angeles. And I've said many a time, I don't want kids smoking weed. But I don't want kids having unprotected sex either. I don't want to have them sex either, but if they're going to, I offer them protection. I don't want kids doing drugs, but if they're going to, I want them to pick the ones that won't kill them. That's just me. I'm a harm reduction guy. So what else he got in here? What legalization? Oh, here's the other thing. And I love this because he harkens back to Michelle Lenhardt on this one. On July 4th, 2013, marijuana activists arranged to have an American flag made of hemp flown over the U.S. Capitol. That is a perfect image of how marijuana users think. They elevate it over everything. It is their one true allegiance. To them, marijuana is so wonderful and important, it deserves a position above our greatest institutions. Upset that a hemp flag flew over the Capitol. I mean, again, not counting the thousands of them that flew over the Capitol during the time flags were made of hemp. But once again, a hemp flag was flown. Now, his final chapter. Chapter 23, what legalization would unleash? And he's got a section, 21 ways. legalization would harm us all. 21, folks, 21. 21 ways legalization would harm us all, which I assume these 21 things have already happened in Colorado and Washington since they've been legalized for 3 years. Crime. 2/3 of prison inmates are substance abusers. 3/4 of arrestees test positive for drugs. Most crime, including most property and violent crime, is a symptom of substance abuse. Really? Okay. Well, first of all, if 2/3 of the people in prison are substance abusers, and any use of a substance that's popularly used is considered abuse that can land you in prison, isn't that a self-fulfilling kind of statistic there? 2/3 of the people arrested for drugs show up to have drugs. Wow, okay. What else do we got here? Research shows that people who were abused or neglected as children are 9 times as likely to break the law as adults and were more likely to be serving time for a violent crime than inmates who were not abuse victims. So, child abuse also increases crime. Okay. So where does that tie into marijuana? Well, in this little segment, according to CASA, 70% of abused and neglected children have alcohol or drug-abusing parents. Oh. So, because mom and dad might drink too much and beat their kid, or might have an issue with coke or meth and neglect their kid, or heroin and neglect their kid, the parents with pot should be punished. Notice how in all of these, it's alcohol or drug abuse, not marijuana, but alcohol and drug abuse. This is the worst kind of sloppy statistics reporting. It's like saying, among razor blades, axes, and Nerf balls, 1,000 people were killed. Look, the Nerf balls didn't kill anyone. The razor blades and the axes did. But yeah, throw the Nerf balls in there. Make that sound awful. What else we got? Oh, domestic violence. Substance abuse precipitates violence in violence-prone people so regularly that it's an ingredient of the majority of domestic violence cases. 92% of perpetrators had used drugs or alcohol the day of the assault. Legalization of all drugs would mean more domestic violence. Number one, who's arguing legalization of all drugs? I mean, I would. That's another segment. In this argument, we're talking about legalizing marijuana, and you want to throw in domestic violence stats that every cop ever knows are primarily attributable to alcohol. He says drug and alcohol abuse. Drug and alcohol abuse cost the United States over $400 billion last year in lost productivity. Uh-huh.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger flipping, public school educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
So yeah, the lost productivity, right? We're supposed to take that and not care about the tobacco smokers going out and taking their 15-minute breaks every 2 hours. Drug and alcohol abuse cost the United States $400 million per year in lost productivity. Substance abuse would certainly increase with legalization. And yet, in Colorado and Washington, their rates of coke, meth, and heroin use are down.
This is Robert Platchorn, and you're listening to 420 Radio with Radical Russ Belleville.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana.
less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Welcome back, everybody. That's the music from Sky Juice with You Wanna Ride? I just want that modem to stop trying to connect is what I want. All right. Welcome back to the show. Oh, I took a little brief minute there to argue some more gun stuff on Twitter. Because the problem in America is we don't have enough guns in enough places. We have random bullets that get sprayed around in theaters and school. I have a guy telling me that, well, all the random bullet sprayings take place in gun-free zones. Oh, okay. So I guess get rid of all the gun-free zones. Everybody should have guns everywhere at all times. We should just all be packing heat and trust that each other are well-trained enough to actually shoot the bad guy and not one of us when we step up to shoot the other bad guy. We need more random bullet spraying machines in everyone's hands at all times and all places. That's the only way. That's the only possible solution to what's going on here. Okay. Look, I don't want to get off on that because we're stuck here with Ed Gogek. I got to tell you, what else of the 21 things that are going to happen, 21 tragedies that will befall American society under marijuana legalization, we continue. Homelessness. According to research cited in Treating the Homeless Mentally Ill, about two-thirds of the chronically homeless are substance abusers. Yeah, substance abusers, right? They're all smoking weed, and that's what made them homeless. Welfare dependency. About 15 to 20% of people on welfare have substance abuse disorders, but they stay on welfare the longest with their substance abuse disorders. Not marijuana smokers, all substances. High healthcare costs. Adults who were abused as children have more surgeries and more medical and psychiatric problems. See, because earlier we learned that legalizing marijuana is going to increase child abuse, and then those abused kids will then have high healthcare costs, you see. Teen pregnancy. Women who were sexually abused are three times as likely to get pregnant in their teens. Abused boys are more likely to father a teen pregnancy, and substance abusers are notorious for indulging in promiscuity and risky sexual behavior. There you go. That's what it is, right? Because of all the marijuana-caused child abuse will make all these marijuana-abused kids have unprotected sex. Okay. Abortion and unwanted pregnancy. Well, of course. Well, if they're having all this sex, there's going to be more abortions than unwanted pregnancies. One study showed 5% of abortions occurred because women were afraid they'd harmed the fetus with drugs or alcohol, or that substance use would make them or their partner an unfit parent. Right. Okay. So we need to keep marijuana illegal And then that shame and stigma won't happen. Oh, wait. That stat is from when marijuana is illegal. AIDS. We got to watch out for the AIDS, folks. The AIDS. 40% of new HIV cases involve intravenous drug users or their heterosexual partners. But even among gay men with HIV, most have used illegal drugs. See? Illegal drugs. Not marijuana. But as we know, of course, marijuana means you're going to eventually use IV needles and then you'll pass AIDS. Prostitution. Street prostitutes almost always have a history of substance abuse. They use their money to pay for drugs. But of course, there's also childhood sexual abuse at the time that have contributed as well. Poverty. Substance abuse drags people into poverty three ways. Addicts and alcoholics find it harder to hold on to a job. They spend their money on drugs and alcohol, and they develop health problems that drain their savings and make it harder to work. Yep. Marijuana. Marijuana users have it harder to hold on to a job, partially because we test them to see if they're marijuana users. How many drinkers would lose their jobs if there was a test at work that showed they had consumed alcohol within the past week? This is such a ridiculous statistic. All these statistics about productivity, employment, absenteeism, income, all of that are tainted by the fact that we actively seek out these people for punishment and retribution. And we actively keep them out of the top echelons in their companies or getting the good jobs at all. Jesus. He cites, you know, the teenagers who 10 years later, we find the ones that smoke pot had less income. Well, yeah, because they're stuck in working dishwashing and busing jobs. They're the ones that are stuck in the jobs that don't drug test. Or they've tried to get a job in the past, failed the drug test, and then been unable to get to that next level. Chronic unemployment. The unemployed have twice the rate of substance abuse as the general population. Well, here's a problem with those unemployment stats. I actually broke this down from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health and found that if you separate people by whether they use marijuana or they don't use marijuana, the ones who use marijuana are more likely to be employed. Absolute fact. More likely to be employed if you're a marijuana smoker than if you're a non-smoker. Now, there's less income being made. But a larger proportion of the adults are part-time or full-time workers. Yes, more of them are also under unemployment. And yes, some of the adults are retired. But to say that we cannabis consumers aren't hardworking, productive people runs in contradiction to the statistics. We're continuing on the 21 ways that marijuana legalization is going to destroy our country. This is from Dr. Ed Gogek, MD. In his book, Marijuana Debunked, a handbook for parents, pundits, and politicians, he went to know the case against legalization, and he says, high school dropouts. Students who use marijuana regularly before age 16 drop out twice as often as non-users. Increased dropout rate. Of course, there could also be the confounding factors of kids that are in abusive households that are using marijuana to cope, and it's harder for them to concentrate at school. We could deal with kids being bullied who are using marijuana to cope, having more trouble at school. All we know is that kids who have trouble in school both A, drop out, and B, might be more likely to smoke pot. And once again, I'm not arguing for 16-year-olds to be able to smoke pot. I'm arguing for 47-year-old to be able to smoke pot. We don't want kids drinking either, but we don't punish the adults who drink. Divorce. We're going to have more divorce. Research on divorce found substance abuse to be the third most common reason after infidelity and incompatibility. Again, substance abuse, not marijuana smoking. Single moms. Families headed by a single mom are five times as likely to be poor as families headed by a married couple. Two of the most common causes of single parenthood are divorce and unwanted pregnancy, both of which are often caused by substance abuse. If only we weren't smoking weed, We'd stay married and raise our kids. It's the weed's fault. And of course, deadbeat dads. One quarter of all parents who are owed child support receive nothing, and state programs that pursue parents who don't pay child support often find the problem is substance abuse. Again, substance abuse, not marijuana smoking. And finally, grandparents raising grandkids. Common reasons are substance abuse, divorce, teenage pregnancy, and incarceration. Oh yeah, incarceration. So he says, these 21 problems are why legalization is no small issue. I've seen victims of child abuse and domestic violence every day of my working life for 30 years. I could never support a policy that would make those problems and nearly two dozen other social ills even more common. The legalization lobby avoids this side of the story, but each of these 21 social problems will get worse if we legalize drugs. Marijuana. We're talking about legalizing marijuana. On the other hand, recovery-based policies would reduce substance abuse and curb every one of these problems. Given that choice, it's hard to understand why there's even a debate. Well, here's why. Because, first of all, a lot of what you advocate is that AA 12-step psychobabble pseudoscience Bible-thumping bullshit that has not been shown to be any more successful in treating people with substance abuse disorders than any other way, including just quitting cold turkey. Okay? So first of all, there's that. Second of all, is that you advocate for maintaining a policy of criminal justice to treat a health problem. That's the big issue. And you can dress it up with, well, addicts are in denial and they won't do anything until they're forced to do anything. You can dress it up all you like with that. But what you're arguing for is government mandated force to assure people reach a certain level of health. Oh, you're a marijuana smoker. Well, that's abuse and we need to force you to stop. We won't force the alcoholic to stop. We won't force the chain smoker to stop. We won't force the Starbucks addict to stop. We won't force Governor Chris Christie to stop with the jelly donuts. We won't force any of them to stop. We won't force the people that are having unprotected sex to stop. We won't force any of those people to stop doing the things that, by your own logic in this book, would reduce productivity, harm public health, and encourage kids to do that. We don't focus on any of them. You want to focus on us, the marijuana consumers. And you said it yourself, it's a culture thing. It's a culture war. Well, we can't do anything about alcohol because it's been in all the cultures for thousands of years. There's nothing we can do. Sure we could. We did. We did in 1920. We made it illegal by a constitutional amendment, and the resulting 13 years showed us that despite the good that came out of it, there was less cirrhosis, right? There's all sorts of good stats you can actually pull out of prohibition if you want to, but the cost of those was creating Al Capone, was handing over a criminal industry. Gogek wants to say that alcohol is legal because of an accident, historical accident. We just have to accept it. But marijuana, well, we realized in time and we shut it down. Oh, man, these people. We're witnessing the last cries of the prohibitionist dinosaurs as they sink into the tar pits on the wrong side of history. And I'm glad to be able to do it for you. That's all the time we got for today. Well, join us next week because we'll be off the rest of the week tabling at the Cannabis Creative Conference and making our way back to Idaho for a tolerance break and my 30-year high school reunion. For everyone here in legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.
you take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.